Star Wars.
The Last Command by Timothy Zahn.
Continued.
Cassette number 12, side 1. He was about two-thirds of the way around his side of the walkway when he heard something over the eerie mechanical breathing sounds of the cavern below him. Looking back, he saw 3PO calling and beckoning to him from the pump room door. Great, he muttered. Leave it to 3PO, and sooner or later he'd make a mess of it. Finishing the door he was on, he turned and hurried back. Captain Solo, 3PO gushed in relief as Han came up to him. Thank the Maker. R2 says... What are you trying to do, Han snapped. Bring the whole garrison down on us? Of course not, sir. But R2 says... You want to talk to me, you come out and find me, right? Yes, sir. But R2 says... If you don't know where to look, you use your comlink, Han said, jabbing a finger at the little cylinder the droid was clutching. That's why you've got one. You don't just shout around. You got that? Yes, sir, 3PO said, his mechanical patience sounding more than a little strained. May I continue? Han sighed. So much for the lecture. He'd do better talking to a Bantha. Yeah, what is it?
It's about Master Luke, 3PO said. I overheard one of the Nogri say that he and Mara Jade were on their way to the Emperor's throne room.
Yeah, so?
Well, sir, in the course of his inquiries, R2 has just learned that the Jedi Master Jorus Kabaoth is imprisoned in that area.
Han stared at him. What do you mean, that area? Isn't he in the detention center?
No, sir, 3PO said. As I said...
Why didn't you say so? Han demanded, yanking out his comlink and thumbing it on. And just as fast, thumbing it off.
The comlinks appear to be inoperable, 3PO said primly. I discovered that when I attempted to contact you.
Great, Han snarled, the burst of jamming static still echoing in his ears as he looked around. Luke and Mara walking right into Kabaoth's arms, and no way to warn them. No way except one.
Keep R2 busy looking for those schematics, he told 3PO, shoving the comlink back into his belt. While he's at it, tell him to see if he can find out where the jamming is coming from. If he can, send a couple of the Nogri to try and get rid of it. Then get out to that work platform and tell Chewie and Lando where I've gone.
Yes, sir,
3PO said, sounding a little surprised by the flurry of orders and command authority.
Pardon me, sir, but where will you have gone?
Where do you think? Han retorted over his shoulder as he started down the walkway. It never failed, he thought sourly. One way or the other, no matter where they were or what they were doing, somehow he always wound up chasing off after Luke. And it was starting to look more and more like a good thing he'd come along. All right, Garrett's gold, hatchways here are sealed, the controller's voice said. Stand by to receive outbound course data. Acknowledged, control, Avish said, easing the ether way back from the docking arm and starting a leisurely turn. They were ready here, and from the looks of things, so was everyone else. There he is, Gillespie muttered, pointing out the viewport. Right on schedule. You sure that's Mazik? Aves asked, peering out at the ship.
Pretty sure, Gillespie said. Want me to try giving him a call?
Aves shrugged, looking around the shipyards. They'd set up the rest of the group with a good encrypt code, but it wouldn't be a smart idea to tempt trouble by using it before they had to. Let's hold off a minute, he told Gillespie. Wait until we've got something to talk about. The words were barely out of his mouth when the whole thing went straight to hell. Star Destroyers, Fawn barked from the comm console, coming in from light speed. Vectors? Gillespie snapped. Don't bother, Aves told him, a cold knife twisting in his gut. He could see the Star Destroyers ahead, all right, appearing out of hyperspace at the edge of the shipyards, and the dreadnoughts, and the Lancer frigates, and the strike cruisers, and the TIE squadrons. A complete assault fleet, and then some. And practically every fighting ship of Carta's Smuggler Confederation was here, right in the middle of it. So it was a trap, Gillespie said, his voice icy calm. I guess so, Aves said, staring out at the armada, still moving into formation. A formation that seemed wrong somehow. Aves, Gillespie, this is Mazik. The other smuggler's voice came over the comm. Looks like we've been sold out after all. I'm not going to surrender. How about you? I think they deserve to lose at least a couple of Star Destroyers for this, Gillespie agreed. That was my idea, Mazik said. Too bad Carta isn't here to see us go out in a blaze of glory. He paused, and Aves could feel Gillespie's and Fawn's eyes on him. They would, he knew, go to their deaths, believing Carta had betrayed them. All of them would. I'm with you, too, he told the others quietly. If you want, Mazik, you can have command. Thanks, Mazik said. I was going to take it anyway. Stand by. We might as well deliver our first punch together. Aves took one last look at the armada, and suddenly he had it. Hold it, he snapped. Mazik, everyone, hold it. That assault force isn't here for us. What are you talking about? Gillespie demanded. Those interdictor cruisers out there, Aves said. Out past that Star Destroyer group. See them? Look at their positioning. There was a moment of silence. Mazik got it first. That's not an enclosure configuration, he said. You're right, it's not, Gillespie agreed. Look, you can see a second group of them farther back. It's an entrapment configuration, Mazik said, sounding like he didn't believe his own words. They're setting up to pull someone out of hyperspace, and then keep him here long enough to pound him. Aves looked at Gillespie, found him looking back. No, Gillespie breathed. You don't suppose... I thought they were supposed to be hitting Tangreen. So did I, Aves told him grimly, the twisting knife back in his gut. I guess we were wrong. Or else Thrawn is. Gillespie looked out at the armada and shook his head. No, probably not. All right, let's not panic, Mazik said. If the New Republic comes, it just means that much more to occupy the Imperial's attention. Let's stay on schedule and see what happens. Right, Aves sighed. Square in the middle of an Imperial base during a New Republic attack. Terrific. Tell you something, Aves, Gillespie commented. If we get out of this, I'm going to go have some words with your boss. No argument. Aves looked out at Thrawn's armada. Matter of fact, I think maybe I'll go with you. Carefully, Mara eased her head out of the emergency stairway and took a look into the corridor beyond. The caution was wasted. This level was as deserted as the three below it had been. All clear, she murmured, stepping out into the corridor. No guards here, either? Skywalker asked, looking around as he joined her. No point to it, she told him. Except for the throne room and the royal chambers, there was never much of anything on these top levels. I guess there still isn't. Where's this private turbolift? To the right and around that corner, she said, pointing with her blaster. More from habit than any real need, she tried to keep her footsteps quiet as she led the way down the corridor. She reached the cross corridor and turned into it. There, 10 meters dead ahead, two stormtroopers stood flanking the turbolift door, their blaster rifles already lifting to track toward her. Half a step into the corridor, all her momentum going the wrong direction, there was nowhere for Mara to go but down. She dived for the deck, firing toward them as she fell. One of the stormtroopers toppled back as a burst of flame erupted in his chest armor. The second rifle swung toward her face and jerked reflexively away as Skywalker's lightsaber came spinning down the corridor toward him. It didn't do any real damage, of course. At that distance and without the Force, Skywalker wasn't that good a shot. But it did a fine job of distracting the stormtrooper, and that was all Mara needed. Even as the Imperial ducked away from the whirling blade, she caught him with two clean shots. He hit the deck and stayed there. I guess they don't want anyone going in there, Skywalker said, coming up beside her. I guess not, Mara agreed, ignoring the hand he offered and getting up on her own. Come on. The turbolift car had been locked at this level, but it took Mara only a minute to release it. There were only 4 stops listed. The one they were on, the emergency shuttle hangar, the royal chambers, and the throne room itself. She keyed for the last, and the door slid shut behind them. The trip upward was a short one, and a few seconds later, the door on the opposite side of the car slid open. Bracing herself, Mara stepped out into the Emperor's throne room and into a flood of memories. It was all here, just as she remembered it. The muted sidelights and brooding darkness the Emperor had found so conducive to meditation and thought. The raised section of floor at the far end of the chamber, allowing him to look down from his throne as visitors climbed the staircase into his presence. View screens on the walls on either side of the throne darkened now, which had enabled him to keep track of the details of his domain. And for an overview of that domain, she turned to her left, gazing over the railing of the walkway into the huge open space that faced the throne. Floating there in the darkness, a blaze of light 20 meters across, was the galaxy. Not the standard galaxy hologram any school or shipping business might own. Not even the more precise versions that could be found only in the war rooms of select sector military headquarters. This hologram was sculpted in exquisite and absolutely unique detail, with a single accurately positioned spot of light for each of the galaxy's 100 billion stars. Political regions were delineated by subtle encirclements of color. The core systems, the outer rim territories, wild space, the unknown regions. From his throne, the Emperor could manipulate the image, highlighting a chosen sector, locating a single system, or tracking a military campaign. It was as much a work of art as it was a tool. Grand Admiral Thrawn would love it. And with that thought, the memories of the past faded reluctantly into the realities of the present. Thrawn was in command now, a man who wanted to recreate the Empire in his own image, wanted it badly enough to unleash a new round of Clone Wars, if that would gain it for him. She took a deep breath. All right, she said. The words echoed around the chamber, pushing the memories still further away. If it's here, it'll be built into the throne. With an obvious effort, Skywalker pulled his gaze away from the hologram galaxy. Let's take a look. They headed down the 10-meter walkway that led from the turbolift into the main part of the throne room, walking beneath the overhead catwalk that ran across the front edge of the hologram pit and between the raised guard platforms flanking the stairway. Mara glanced at the platforms as she and Skywalker walked up the steps to the upper level, remembering the red-cloaked Imperial guards who had once stood there in silent watchfulness. Beneath the upper-level floor, visible between the steps as they climbed, the Emperor's monitor and control area was dark and silent. Aside from the galaxy hologram, all of the systems up here appeared to have been shut down. They reached the top of the steps and headed across toward the throne itself, turned away from them toward the polished rock wall behind it. Mara was looking at it, wondering why the Emperor had left it facing away from his galaxy when it began to turn around. She grabbed Skywalker's arm, snapping her blaster up to point at the throne. The massive chair completed its turn.
"So at last you have come to me," Jorus Cabal said gravely, gazing out at them from the depths of the throne. "I knew you would. Together, we will teach the galaxy what it means to serve the Jedi."
Chapter 26.
"I knew you would be coming to me tonight," Cabal said, rising slowly from the throne to face them. "From the moment you left Coruscant, I knew you would come. That was why I set this night for the people of my city to attack my oppressors."
"That wasn't necessary," Luke told him, taking an involuntary step backward as the memories of those near disastrous days on Jomark came rushing back to him. Kabouth had tried there to subtly corrupt him to the dark side, and when he'd failed at that, he tried to kill Luke and Mara both. But he wouldn't be trying that again. Not here. Not without the Force.
"Of course it was necessary," Cabal said. "You needed a distraction to gain entrance to my prison. And they, like all lesser beings, needed purpose. What better purpose could they have than the honor of dying in the service of the Jedi?"
Beside him, Mara muttered something. "I think you have that backwards," Luke said. "The Jedi were the guardians of peace, the servants of the Old Republic, not its masters."
"Which is why they and the Old Republic failed, Jedi Skywalker," Cabal said, jabbing a finger toward him in emphasis. "Why they failed and why they died."
"The Old Republic survived 1,000 generations," Mara put in. "That doesn't sound like failure to me."
"Perhaps not," Cabal said, with obvious disdain. "You are young and do not yet see clearly."
"And you do, of course." Cabal smiled at her.
"Oh, yes, my young apprentice," he said softly. "I do indeed, as will you."
"Don't count on it," Mara growled. "We aren't here to get you out."
"The Force does not rely on what you think are your goals," Cabal said. "Nor do the true masters of the Force. Whether you knew it or not, you came here at my summons."
"You just go ahead and believe that," Mara said, motioning to the side with her blaster. "Move over there."
"Of course, my young apprentice."
Cabal took 3 steps in the indicated direction.
"She has great strength of will, Jedi Skywalker," he added to Luke as Mara moved warily over to the throne
and crouched down to examine the armrest control boards.
"She will be a great power in the galaxy which we shall build."
"No," Luke said, shaking his head. This was, perhaps, his last chance to bring the insane Jedi back, to save him, as he had saved Vader aboard the second Death Star.
You aren't in any shape to build anything, Master Kabaoth. You're not well. But I can help you if you'll let me. Kabaoth's face darkened.
How dare you say such things? He demanded. How dare you even think such blasphemy about the great Jedi Master Kabaoth?
But that's just it, Luke said gently. You're not the Jedi Master Kabaoth. Not the original one, anyway. The proof is there in the Katana's records. Choris Kabaoth died a long time ago during the outbound flight project.
Yet, I am here.
Yes, Luke nodded. You are, but not Choris Kabaoth. You see, you're his clone. Kabaoth's whole body went rigid.
No, he said. No, that can't be.
Luke shook his head. There's no other explanation. Surely that thought has occurred to you before. Kabaoth took a long, shuddering breath. And then, abruptly, he threw his head back and laughed. Watch him, Mara snapped, eyeing the old man warily over the throne's armrest. He pulled this same stunt on Jomark, remember? It's all right, Luke said. He can't hurt us.
Ah, Skywalker. Skywalker,
Kabaoth said, shaking his head.
You too, Grand Admiral Thrawn, the New Republic, and now you. What is this sudden fascination with clones and cloning?
He barked another laugh, and then, without warning, turned deadly serious.
He does not understand, Jedi Skywalker, he said earnestly. Not Grand Admiral Thrawn, not any of them. The true power of the Jedi is not in these simple tricks of matter and energy. The true might of the Jedi is that we alone, of all those in the galaxy, have the power to grow beyond ourselves, to extend ourselves into all the reaches of the universe.
Luke glanced at Mara, got a shrug and puzzled look in return. We don't understand either, he told Kabaoth. What do you mean? Kabaoth took a step toward him.
I have done it, Jedi Skywalker, he whispered,
his eyes glittering in the dim light.
With General Kovel. What even the Emperor never did. I took his mind in my hands and altered it, reformed it, and rebuilt it into my own image.
Luke felt a cold shiver run through him. What do you mean, rebuilt it? Kabaoth nodded, a secret sort of smile playing around his lips.
Yes, rebuilt it. And that was only the start. Beneath us, down in the depths of the mountain, the future army of the Jedi even now stands in readiness to serve us. What I did with General Kovel, I will do again and again and again. Because what Grand Admiral Thrawn has never realized is that the army he thinks he is creating for himself, he is instead creating for me.
And suddenly Luke understood. The clones growing down in that cavern weren't just physically identical to their original template. Their minds were identical, too, or close enough to be only minor variations of the same pattern. If Kabaoth could learn how to break the mind of any one of them, he could do the same to all the clones in that group. Luke looked at Mara again. She understood, too. You still think he can be saved? She demanded grimly.
I need no one to save me, Mara Jade, Kabaoth told her. Tell me, do you really believe I would simply stand by and allow Grand Admiral Thrawn to imprison me this way?
I didn't think he'd asked your permission, Mara bit out.
stepping away from the throne. There's nothing here for us, Skywalker. Let's get out of here.
I did not grant you permission to leave,
Cabal said, his voice suddenly loud and regal. He raised his hand, and Luke saw that he was holding a small cylinder.
And you shall not.
Mara gestured with her blaster. You're not going to stop us with that, she said with thinly veiled contempt. A remote activator has to have something to activate.
And so it does,
Cabal said, smiling thinly.
I had my soldiers prepare it for me before I sent them outside the mountain with the weapons and orders for my people.
Sure. Mara took a step back toward the stairs, throwing a wary glance at the ceiling above her as her left hand found the guardrail that separated the raised section of the throne room from the lower level. We'll take your word for it. Kabouth shook his head.
You won't have to,
he said softly, pressing the switch. In the back of Luke's mind, something distant and very alien seemed to shriek in agony. And suddenly, impossibly, he felt a surge of awareness and strength fill him, as if he were waking up from a deep sleep or stepping from a dark room into the light. The Force was again with him. Mara, he snapped. But it was too late. Mara's blaster had already wrenched itself from her grip and been flung back across the room. And even as Luke leaped toward her, Cabal's outstretched hand erupted into a brilliant blaze of blue-white lightning. The blast caught Mara square in the chest, throwing her backward to slam into the guardrail behind her. Stop it, Luke shouted, getting in front of her and igniting his lightsaber. Cabal ignored him, firing a second burst. Luke caught most of it on his lightsaber blade, grimacing as the part he missed jolted through his muscles. Cabal fired a third burst, and a fourth, and a fifth. And then, abruptly, he lowered his hands.
You will not presume to give me commands, Deadeye Skywalker,
he said, his voice strangely petulant.
I am the master. You are the servant.
I'm not your servant, Luke told him, stepping back and throwing a quick look at Mara. She was still pretty much on her feet, clutching the guardrail for support. Her eyes were open, but not fully aware, her breath making little moaning sounds as she exhaled between clenched teeth. Laying his free hand on his shoulder, wincing at the stink of ozone, Luke began a quick probe of her injuries.
You are indeed my servant, Cabal said,
the earlier petulance replaced now by a sort of haughty grandeur.
As is she. Leave her alone, Jedi Skywalker. She required a lesson, and she has now learned it.
Luke didn't answer. None of her burns seemed too bad, but her muscles were still twitching uncontrollably. Reaching out with the Force, he tried to draw away some of the pain.
I said, leave her alone, Cabal repeated,
his voice echoing eerily across the throne room.
Her life is not in danger. Save your strength, rather, for the trial that awaits you.
Dramatically, he lifted a hand and pointed. Luke turned to look. There, silhouetted against the shimmering galaxy holo, stood a figure dressed in what looked like the same brown robe Cabal was wearing. A figure that seemed somehow familiar.
There is no choice, my young Jedi,
Cabal said, his voice almost gentle now.
Don't you understand? You must serve me, or we will not be able to save the galaxy from itself. You must therefore face death and emerge at my side, or you must die that another may take your place.
He lifted his eyes to the figure and beckoned.
Come, he called, and face your destiny.
The figure moved forward toward the stairs, unhooking a lightsaber from his belt as he came. With the blaze of light from the hologram behind him, the figure's face was still impossible to make out. Luke stepped away from Mara, a strange and unpleasant buzzing pressure beginning to form against his mind. There was something disturbingly familiar about this confrontation, as if he were about to face someone or something he'd faced once before. Abruptly, the memory clicked. Dagobah, his Jedi training, the dark side cave Yoda had sent him into, his brief, dreamlike battle with a vision of Darth Vader. Luke caught his breath, a horrible suspicion squeezing his heart. But no, the silent figure approaching him wasn't tall enough to be Vader. But then, who? And then the figure stepped into the light. And, too late, Luke remembered how that dream battle in the dark side cave had ended. Vader's mask had shattered, and the face behind it had been Luke's own. As was the face that gazed emotionlessly up at him now. Luke felt himself moving back from the steps, his mind frozen with shock and the buzzing pressure growing against it.
Yes, Jedi Skywalker, Cabal said quietly from behind him. He is you, Luke Skywalker, created from the hand you left behind in the Cloud City on Bespin, wielding the lightsaber you lost there.
Luke glanced at the weapon in the clone's hands. It was his, all right. The lightsaber Obi-Wan had told him his father had left for him. Why? He managed.
To bring you to true understanding, Cabal said gravely. And because your destiny must be fulfilled, one way or another, you must serve me.
Luke threw a quick glance at him. Cabal was watching him, his eyes glowing with anticipation and with madness. And in that moment, the clone Luke struck. He leaped to the top of the stairway, igniting his lightsaber and slashing the blue-white blade viciously toward Luke's chest. Luke jumped to the side, whipping his own weapon up to block the attack. The blades came together with an impact that threw him off balance and nearly tore the lightsaber from his grip. The clone, Luke, jumped after him, lightsaber already swinging to the attack. Reaching out to the force, Luke threw himself backwards, flipping over the guardrail and onto one of the raised guard platforms rising from the lower part of the throne room floor. He needed time to think and plan and to find a way past the distraction of the buzzing in his mind. But the clone, Luke, wasn't going to give him that time. Stepping to the guardrail, he hurled his lightsaber downward at the base of the platform Luke was standing on. It wasn't a clean hit. The blade probably sliced through only half of the base. But it was enough to throw the platform into a sudden tilt. Reaching out again to the force, Luke did another backflip, trying to reach the overhead catwalk that spanned the throne room 5 meters behind him. But the distance was too great, or else his mind too distracted by the buzzing to properly draw on the force. The back of his knee hit the edge of the catwalk, and instead of landing on his feet, he flipped over to slam into it on his back.
I did not wish to do this to you, Jedi Skywalker, Cabal's voice called out. I do not wish it still. Join me. Let me teach you. Together we can save the galaxy from the lesser peoples who would destroy it.
No, Luke said hoarsely, grabbing a support strut and pulling himself up as he fought to catch his breath. The clone Luke had retrieved his lightsaber now and was starting down the stairs toward him. The clone. His clone. Was that what was causing this strange pressure in his mind? The close presence of an exact duplicate that was itself drawing on the force. He didn't know, any more than he knew what Cabal's purpose was in throwing the two of them together. Obi-Wan and Master Yoda had both warned him that killing in anger or hatred would lead toward the dark side. Would killing a clone duplicate of himself do the same thing? Or had Cabal's meant something entirely different? Had he meant that killing his own clone would drive Luke insane? Either way, it wasn't something Luke was anxious to find out firsthand. And it occurred to him that he really didn't have to. He could drop off the far side of the catwalk, get to the turbo lift he and Mara had come up on, and escape, leaving Mara here to face Cabalth alone. He raised his eyes. Mara was still leaning against the guardrail, possibly not fully conscious, certainly in no shape to travel. Setting his teeth together, Luke pulled himself to his feet. Mara had asked him, begged him, to kill her rather than leave her in Cabal's hands. The least he could do was to stay with her to the end, whether it was her end or his. The explosion drifted up from the cavern below like a distant thunderclap, clearly audible and yet curiously dampened.
"You hear that, Chewie?"
Lando asked, leaning back to throw a cautious look over the edge of their work platform. "You suppose something down there blew up?" Chewbacca, his hands full of cables and leads as he dug in and around the support lattice of the equipment column, growled a correction. It hadn't been one large explosion, but many simultaneous small ones. Small blasting disks or something of equally low power.
"You sure?" Lando asked uneasily,
peering at the cloning tanks on the balcony one level beneath where they were working. This didn't sound like any normal malfunction. He stiffened. Thin wisps of smoke could be seen now, rising lazily into the air above the nutrient pipes feeding into the tops of the cloning tanks. A lot of wisps of smoke, and they seemed to be rising in a reasonably regular pattern, as if something in each cluster of Sperti cylinders had blown up. There was the muffled clink of metal on metal behind him. Lando twisted around to find 3PO stepping gingerly from the bridge onto the work platform, his head tilted to look down into the cavern.
"Is that smoke?" the droid asked, sounding like he wasn't sure he really wanted to know.
"Looks like smoke to me," Lando agreed. "What are you doing here?"
"Ah."
Resolutely, the droid looked away from whatever was happening below.
"R2 has found the schematics for that equipment column," he said, offering Lando a data card. "He suggests that the negative flow coupler on the main power line might be worth investigating."
"We'll keep that in mind," Lando said, sliding the data card into his data pad and throwing a quick look over the platform railing as he handed the data pad to Chewbacca.
He and the Wookiee weren't all that visible against the drab colors of the equipment column and the rocky cavern ceiling 2 meters above them. But 3PO would stand out like a lump of gold on a mud flat.
"Now get out of here before someone spots you."
"Oh,"
3PO said, stiffening a little more than usual.
"Yes, of course. Also, R2 has located the source of the comlink jamming in this vicinity. Captain Solo requested that if we found that..."
"Right," Lando interrupted him.
"Was that someone moving behind one of the banks of Sperti cylinders on the next level down?"
"I remember. You and R2 go ahead and take the Nogri with you."
The droid seemed taken aback.
"R2 and me? But, sir..."
And with a sound like a spitting tauntaun, a brilliant ripple of blue flashed upward from the cloning balcony below.
"Stun blast," Lando barked, dropping flat on the work platform and feeling the heavy thud as Chewbacca landed beside him.
A second stun blast rippled out, ricocheting off the column above his head as he yanked out his blaster.
"3PO, get out of here."
The droid didn't need any encouragement. "Yes, sir," he called over his shoulder, already scuttling away down the bridge. Chewbacca growled a question.
"Over there somewhere," Lando told him, gesturing with his blaster. "Watch it, though. They're bound to have more moving in."
A third stun blast slammed uselessly into the underside of the work platform, and this time Lando spotted the soldier skulking behind one of the cloning cylinders. He fired twice, dropping the Imperial to the floor and making a mess of the cloning cylinder itself. Behind him, another blue ripple sizzled by overhead, followed a split second later by the heavy bark of Chewbacca's bowcaster. Lando grinned tightly to himself. They were in trouble, but not nearly as much as they could have been. As long as they were sitting up next to all this critical equipment, the Imperials didn't dare use anything stronger than stun settings on them. But at the same time, the Imperials themselves had absolutely no cover down there on the balconies except the cloning tanks, which meant all they really could do was stay there, probably not bothering their targets any, and get themselves and a lot of valuable equipment blown to bits. Or else they could simply come one level up and blast away at them from an angle where the heavy metal of the work platform wouldn't keep getting in their way. From the other side of the equipment column, Chewbacca rumbled. The Imperials were pulling back.
"Probably coming up here," Lando agreed, glancing around their level at the doors lining the outer walkway.
They looked pretty strong, probably only a step or two down from warship-type blast doors. If Han and the Nogri had done a good job of sealing them off, they ought to hold off even a determined group of stormtroopers for a while. Except for the door to the pump room that R2 had been working in. Han would have left that one open for them to get out through. Lando grimaced, but there was nothing for it. Bracing his gun hand against the bottom section of the railing, he took careful aim at the door's control box and fired. The box cover flashed and crumpled, and for a couple of seconds he could see a faint sputtering of sparks through the smoke. And that was that. The Imperials were locked out, and he and Chewbacca were locked in. Keeping low, he crept around to the other side of the column. Chewbacca was already back at work, his grease-slicked hands digging back through the cables and pipes, the data pad on the floor by his feet.
"Making any progress?" Lando asked.
Chewbacca growled, tapping at the data pad awkwardly with one foot, and Lando craned his neck to look. It was a schematic of a section of the power cable, showing a coupling with eight leads coming off it. And just above the coupling, clearly marked, a positive flow regulator. "Uh-huh," Lando said, a not entirely pleasant sensation running through him.
"You're not by any chance thinking of running that into the negative flow coupler 3PO mentioned, are you?"
In answer, the Wookiee withdrew his hand from the tangle of cables, pulling the partially disconnected negative flow coupler with it. This book is continued at this point on the other side of this cassette. Please reverse or turn the cassette over now.